Welcome to a new edition of Big City Catholics. I'm your host, Bishop Robert Brennan, Bishop of Brooklyn, serving in Brooklyn and Queens, and I'm thrilled that you're joining us today. As promised, we continue our conversations from Indianapolis, Indiana, during the Eucharistic Congress. It's been a fruitful week, and it's going to take us a few weeks to unpack it all and really to share some of the graces that are already manifest to us in Brooklyn and Queens. Today, I have Father Cristiano Pinheiro from Shalom. We'll talk about what that all means in a moment, but why don't we begin with our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving Mother of the Redeemer, Gate of Heaven, Star of the Sea, assist your people who have fallen, yet strive to rise again. Through the wonderment of nature, you bore your Creator, yet remained a virgin after as before. You who received Gabriel's joyful greeting, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I mentioned Father Cristiano, but we're really joined by a whole group of the community of Shalom. And they're a great blessing to us, located in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, to all of the diocese. You bring people from Brooklyn, Queens, and even beyond, right?
Yes.
So welcome, Father Cristiano.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you so much for having us here today. It's a great joy for us to be in communion with you. Actually, the 10th National Eucharistic Congress is this expression, 10th National Eucharistic Congress, is very dear to us because the Shalom community was born during, like, our charism was manifested in the life of the church exactly in the 10th National Eucharistic Congress held in Brazil in 1980 when the Pope John Paul II visited Brazil for the first time. It was interesting because our founder was a young man, young adult, 20 years old. He had a very strong experience with the love of God in one of the retreats held by the Jesuit priests in Fortaleza, Brazil, the northeast of Brazil. He felt so loved by God, and he started to be committed with youth movements in the Archdiocese of Fortaleza. And the bishop asked him to give a gift to the Pope John Paul II during Mass, and said, "Oh, what can I give as a gift to the Pope?" And the bishop said, "It's up to you. You pray, you decide what to give." And this young man prayed and said, "Look, there's nothing better than my own life to offer to the Pope and the Church, right? So during the offertory of the Mass, I will offer myself. I will offer my life to evangelize the young adults, young people, far from Christ and far from the Church." So he wrote a letter and said that he wanted to offer his life, spend all his days and his youth out of love for God to evangelize. And that's how Shalom was born, the Eucharistic offering of someone's life, of a young man's life. And 2 years later, he wanted to materialize that life offering. And he said, "How can I reach out to young adults who are far from Christ in the church like this? People don't go to masses if I just, let's go to mass together. Let's go to a spiritual retreat." Young adults, "I don't know if I want to do that. But if I invite them to grab a bite, to hang out, they will come." And Shalom materialized, our first evangelization center came about as a pizza place, a snack bar. And that's how we started. Young men and women who wanted to offer their lives as well, like Moises did, our founder. And this chain of life offering started to grow. And more young people, more young adults started to commit to live a life of prayer, unity, and evangelization. It's the three pillars of our charism: contemplation, unity, and evangelization. And sorry for being so talkative, but that's...
No, that's great.
The whole experience comes from a National Eucharistic Congress.
Right? And so you're here as missionaries from Brazil, one of the 10th Eucharistic Congress in Brazil. You're missionaries here at the 10th Eucharistic Congress in the United States.
Exactly. It's 42 years later.
Right? 42 years later. What a great blessing for us. It's been a great Eucharistic Congress. The last two nights we had prayer and adoration, and I love that. And that's part of your charism. You're very, very centered on praise and worship and prayer and adoration. While prayer and adoration are great for the soul, great for the person, they're not as good for the voice. And so I have to offer an apology to you who are listening. Again, I don't have a four-week cold. I just lost my voice the night before doing all the recordings at the praise and worship night. But we had a chance to be together to pray. I was sitting with all of you, and again, powerful, powerful experience to be with something like 50,000 people praying before the Lord. Shalom is not just a community of priests. You are a priest, and you have priests and priests who come and serve, but you're also a community of lay missionaries, right?
Exactly. We are men and women who discern their vocations to become members of Shalom. We have a whole year of discernment, and people can be part of the community. Those who identify with the charism and vocational identity can join the community as Life community members are covenant community members. So life community members, no matter if they are priests or celibates for the kingdom or married people or people who have the intention to marry, they discern that they are called to that vocation and they embrace the life of the community. And altogether, in the differences of our states of life, our forms of life, we live the same charism, the same spirituality, and we evangelize with our differences. For example, Barbara, who's here in the room, she's a celibate for the kingdom, a young woman who consecrated her life entirely to the Lord. I'm a priest, right? And we have people who date or who are married in the community, and this complementarity is very important and vital to our vocation, our charism.
It sounds very much like the Christian community or the Catholic Church.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Like the early Christian community, all of us breaking bread together and living in community, no matter
different charisms, offices, and different callings, but all contributing to the same mission. So, Barbara, welcome to the podcast. But Father Cristiano points you out as one of the missionaries from Shalom. Tell me about your calling and your experience.
Thank you for having us. For me, it's been 9 years. I'm a missionary. I'm 29 years old. I just celebrated 3 years in Brooklyn.
Wonderful.
And it's been a great experience. So I was a young person around 15 years old when I came to Shalom for the first time. I grew up as a Catholic, but faith was not like a very important matter for me. Like it was something by tradition. My mom was going to Mass every Sunday, serving the Eucharist and very involved in the life of the parish. And she was also a part of a prayer group in Fortaleza. That's my hometown in Brazil. And I never thought that faith would be like, oh, I want to be a Catholic forever. I want to live this for real. I want to give my life for that. Or for like, God is amazing, but okay, he's good, but I'm over here and I have my dreams, I have my plans and everything. So when I was like around 15, I already knew of Shalom and I had good insights about it because I have an uncle who was an alcoholist. And the community welcomed my uncle in a very beautiful way. And he had a reversion to faith. So there was a beautiful testimony for my family. And I also have a cousin with special needs. And the community always welcomed this cousin that many times she was like either loud or this and that. And in other places, she was not very welcome. So I had this, I think faith is nice. I don't know if I should be like very big Catholic in my life. But out of another situation, like I was in this time, like, should I go more faithfully to Mass? Should I just live my own life? And then my parents were in a difficult relationship. They were about to divorce. And my grandmother said, Barbara, you should be more present in your mother's life. Try to do more things with her. So I was going to Mass already every Sunday, but I didn't have like this personal encounter with God, like the love of God in my life. And I said, okay, she goes to work. She's at home and she goes to Shalom. So I will go to Shalom with her. And as Father said, Shalom always has like a coffee shop, a snack bar. So it's a more neutral place. I was like, okay, my mom goes to her prayer group. I accompany her. We hang out in the snack bar, in the coffee shop. We go somewhere else. But mom, I don't want to be part of any group. I'm going to go with you, but I don't want to be part of any group. And she said, okay, but I think you should go. And then I ended up going to this evangelization center. We have several evangelization centers in Fortaleza and in other parts of Brazil and of the world. Like we have this coffee shop, we have a chapel, we have rooms for prayer group, very similar to what we have in Brooklyn. We are very blessed for having this space. And okay, my mom went to her prayer group. She would go to her prayer group and I will be waiting for her. But when I arrived there, the people who were at the evangelization center, they were very welcoming. And it was very hard to say no to the prayer group. They were like, I felt very loved. And the way they looked at me, the way they welcomed me, it felt like this love of God. And I ended up going to this prayer group. And in this prayer group, I saw many other young adults. My mom was in an adult group and I was in the young adult prayer group. It was beautiful to see like people praying. There was a talk. And then in the end, everybody was sharing. And also like the sharing and the prayer was what struck me the most, because the prayer was like the Holy Spirit and God. And it felt like, oh, Jesus is alive. Jesus is here. And then after in the sharing, people were talking about God in their workplaces, in their family lives, how God was transforming them. Some were in addictions and they were having their lives transformed. And I was, oh, so Jesus is alive. Because before for me, it was like, okay, Jesus is like in the past, right? He was awesome, but he was there. I think also the whole point we are here And we are listening to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. So I also experienced this, like the real presence of Jesus in my life. He's alive and he's working. I also want this Jesus. Then I started to think, and it was very beautiful to experience that. And then after like 2 years in prayer groups, I started a discernment in the community to see if I would be called, because we have like covenant community and life community. Life community, maybe if we say like it's more similar to the way of life of the religious people, that we share meals together, we share work together, we leave our personal plans behind to live for available for the needs of the church and whatever God sends us and the community asks us. And covenant community, we say that the life community is like the heart, and the covenant community is like the arteries that brings like the to the world, because they are actually like in their workplaces, they are taking the subway every day, and they bring this to the world. We also do in different ways, and it's a complementary way. So it's very beautiful. So I was like, okay, am I called to life community, covenant community? Am I called to another movement, another congregation in the church? So I spent these 2 years praying and monthly meetings and listening to God and learning. Can I listen to God, right? Getting what God wants for me. And then through prayer and through I was before the Blessed Sacrament when I finalized my discernment, I asked, Lord, I have received many signs, but I just wanted a word from you. And as a charismatic community, we opened the Bible like to see, okay, what the Lord wants to say. And I was before the Blessed Sacrament and in a chapel. And I said, Lord, do you really call me to life community? Please just give me a word, because many people have words from you. I never got a word from you. I need this to take a serious decision. And then when I opened the Bible, there was this passage of the prophet Daniel. Go, Daniel, because these words were sealed until the end of times. Those who are of goodwill will understand, and those who are not of goodwill will not understand. But happy are those who persevere to the end. So at that moment, it was like, okay, God is really calling me, and he's right here before my eyes. So I cannot say no. And I've been experiencing that my call was not just something to make me happy myself, but to make other people happy. As I was throughout the year having many experiences of evangelization, helping others, helping the poor, I was saying, okay, this is not for me. This is for the church. This is for the others. And at the end of the day, it brings me joy. So basically, that's what I experienced, Bishop.
That's beautiful. That's a very powerful statement. So you're a member of the life
community. And I made vows of poverty, obedience, and chastity as a celibate for the kingdom. Yeah.
Beautiful. And we have other missionaries here, right? Elmi, you're a missionary also. So please share with me your experience.
Yes, I'm a baby missionary, only months old.
Months old?
Yes. I started in a very curious way, exactly when the Lord wanted, in a perfectly aligned way. I'm just going to summarize a long story of how I met Shalom. It's very filled with details, but it all started, I think the Lord had it planned from the beginning of my life, because I was born in Honduras, which is a very dangerous country.
Yes.
And there's a lot of dangerous situations, which was even more dangerous because of the business in which my father was in. He had a bar. So this collected all the most dangerous people in the community. And I was born and raised around these things. And I was being more and more involved in these matters. And then years later, long story short, we migrated to the U.S. because of the danger. But I came with this mentality that in the U.S., especially in New York, you only work and study. You just have to make it to survive, you know? And then this is what I did. I forgot all my Catholic responsibilities, and I wasn't going to church. I wasn't going to Mass, using being busy as an excuse to not go to Mass. But it was just an excuse. I knew I had the time. So as soon as I finished my university studies, I had this availability of time. And I wondered, what do I do now to celebrate? Do I go party? Do I go drink? Do I go do these things that other people do? But my heart wanted to go back to church. My heart wanted to go back to Christ. And I Googled Catholics things to do in New York. And the first thing that came up was the St. Patrick's Young Adult Mass, the cathedral. And it was a perfect combination. It was adoration, confession, and Mass, of course. And so I went, but the line was so long of young adults wanting to do all these things that I couldn't make it. So they basically told us very nicely, leave the place. But they announced that there was going to be a social afterwards at a bar, at a pub, an Irish pub. And then I said, all right, this is the only thing that I'm going to get. I'm just going to go meet other people. And so I went, and some random priest was at that bar. They announced, someone got on a chair and announced, if anybody didn't get to confess during Mass, we're going to have a priest here confessing in the bar.
Wow.
And who wants to confess? I was the first one. I jumped and said, me. And then I said, hello, nice to meet you. My name is Elmer. What is your name? Father Cristiano.
Oh, great.
And then he confessed me there. The confession was a 7-year long list of messes and mistakes. And I just poured it all on Father Cristiano and on the mercy of the Lord. And the confession was beautiful. Life-changing for me, definitely life-changing. Beautiful. And then after that, he mentioned that the Shalom group would be a good place for me. He invited me that Saturday. And so I went. And after I went the first time, I felt the same as Barbara. I felt very welcomed. I felt the joy of Father Cristiano when he saw me. He told me later that he thought I wouldn't go. And when he saw me, I guess he saw the lost sheep coming back. And so, yeah, after that, I got involved, more involved. Well, this is what I wanted. This is the place where I can live the faith. This love for Christ, I can materialize it. I can bring it to the real world. I can see it in front of me. And I can do something with it. I can do something good for those around me with this love that I have. I can make it a reality, not only for me, but for others. And this is why I kept on being very consistent. Every Saturday, I made it my mission to go. And now it turned into a mission. I was offered the opportunity to participate in the vocational and discerning if I was a missionary. I was very quick to learn that I wanted to be, yes,
That's
a missionary.
Wonderful. And so you've done your discernment here in Brooklyn?
Yes, I spent 1 year as vocacionado, a vocational discerner. It was just a matter of knowing which one, Life Community or Covenant Community. In the end, we chose Covenant Community.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Again, like we have the different versions, if you will. So you're like the arteries bringing mission out into the world, which is so important.
Yeah, they informed me that I would be the first male missionary born as a fruit of the New York mission.
The community is starting to bear its fruits. That's a great thing.
Great thing.
Actually, in this conversation, we had the chance to talk with Barbara, who's from Brazil and entered the community in Brazil and came to us as a missionary. We spoke with Alma, who's from Queens, actually, and he himself is a missionary, part of the fruit of the labor here in Brooklyn and Queens. So we're so proud of him. And now, Carolyn, you come from Brooklyn.
So originally, actually, from the Boston area, but I actually moved to New York the same about week that the community moved in Brooklyn. So I met the community like right out of the gates, right in the beginning, and was blown away. I remember for me, what I noticed and what I saw were these people and the way that they prayed for me was just like something different. These people were clearly in love with God in a way that I wanted so much. And so I stuck around, I stayed, and I just wanted to be really involved. Yeah, just through these friendships that I've built, this family that I've been able to grow with alongside, I've been definitely touched by the charism, and it definitely has changed the way that I experience God and the way that I understand Him. So yeah, I live near the mission, and on Sundays, that's where I go to Mass and Damiano Mission, and of course the brunches and everything. And yeah, I've just experienced this community show me like what it means to really be in love with God. Like the spousal love of the community is something that is just like so key to the charism. And then just seeing how people in Williamsburg, and especially North Williamsburg, it's a lot of young adults and people who are just very like vibrant people, very like lively, and they're searching for God, whether they know it or not. And yeah, just, it's so cool to see how God just draws people from the streets, from McCarran Park, from the coffee shops, from wherever they are. And I know every missionary in the community has like such a personal story of like one or two or many that have encountered God through the community. So it's just been such a gift to live in the neighborhood and like to see the Holy Spirit moving in so many creative ways.
You know, your story, the beginning part of the story, is not unlike many people living in Brooklyn and Queens, people who come from somewhere else. And as young adults, there's that, I'm going to begin my life in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to live in Brooklyn, maybe work in Manhattan, maybe work in Brooklyn, but I'm going to be part of this new experience. And it can be somewhat daunting. It can also be a little bit lonely. So you come in, many people come to Brooklyn, Queens, leave a lot of folks behind, and they say, I'm just going to jump right in. It's good to be able to connect.
Absolutely. Yeah, for me, I had started in Manhattan and then I met the community and I ended up moving closer in Brooklyn. And I know a lot of people, they do experience, especially young adults, especially when you're living in an apartment with maybe one or two roommates, you know, we miss that experience of family. And then the Shalom community does, you know, give that spiritual family too. So a lot of people just want to like be involved and be near. Another thing I just want to add, yeah, with the community, I know living in New York, a lot of people who move there don't really know what to expect. And you definitely feel the intensity, I think, of the city, even in Brooklyn too. If you experience the challenges of living out your faith, the community just, I think, by their witness of the life of prayer, the simplicity, the serving the other, you experience for yourself, like what it means to just live a sacramental life and to live a life like, you know, not so chasing after like the pace of New York City, but more so like kind of through the sacraments, like allowing God to like fight for you to like stay like more like Christ and be more simple, more still than, you know, the total opposite.
And I'm going to put this in a way that may be a little crass, but you know, you're not just a holy roller movement, you know, you're a group of young people, young adults who live life, mm-hmm. who basically live life in an urban setting. And with all the good things that come with life in an urban center, with all the surrounding areas, but you're seeking other young people who want to be connected to the Lord, want to be connected to something good, want to be able to see themselves as belonging. At the heart of everything is prayer. At the heart of everything is the presence of God in our lives and trying to live in the truth. But you have an awful lot of social interaction as well. And that sort of sometimes that brings people in, as we talked about the coffee bar and all that. But even once you're in, you don't lose that desire to relate to one another just as ordinary young adults. Now, Teresa, you come from neither Brooklyn nor Queens, but from Yonkers. You make a little bit of a trip to be part of the Shalom community.
Yes, that's right. I come all the way from Westchester, Yonkers. I live right near St. Joseph's Seminary on Seminary Avenue, St. John Paul II Street there. It's worth it every time I come. That's why I keep coming back. I'm very attracted to it. I was introduced to Shalom 2 years ago when I attended the 8 camps that they hold. They're going to have this year in August, mm-hmm. 1st to the 4th. I was, immediately attracted, overwhelmed with my experience with God there. And so I was searching for God, searching for my place, searching for my vocation. And so I came across Shalom. I was invited by a friend of mine from another young adult group in the city, Prasadi. And so she said to come to this group. And I said, oh, okay, just like another group, another young adult group. But when I arrived there and I learned about Shalom, I realized this is much more than that. It's not just some, you know, some young adult group. This is something real. It's a community. It's the charism. It's spousal love. It's like almost like a palpable heart beating of God's love and seeing that. And so I'm so inspired by the missionaries, especially Father Cristiano and Barbara and their love. All the missionaries are really like the face of Jesus to me. I feel like that.
How did you get to meet them? Was it through Frasadi?
I went on a retreat with Frasadi, and a girl I know who's also Brazilian who found about the community told me about Shalom, and she told me about this retreat and she encouraged me to go.
And then you went on the camp.
Yeah. And then after that, I just kept coming back. I felt really attracted to the community. So I make my way and take the train or drive off all day.
That's great. That really is great. Now, tell me a little bit about the rhythm of life. So certainly the heart of everything is Sunday Mass. That's the heart of our life as Catholic Christians. So you have Mass. It's at the church that was Holy Family, right? Across the street from McCarran Park that we were talking about before. What is that, 15?
It's Nassau Avenue.
Nassau Avenue.
And 15th Street. Yeah.
And 15th Street.
Now it's called the Banker's Anchor. They turned it into a plaza, and now it's they changed the name.
That's right. That's right.
2 days ago, I think.
It means you can't park there anymore.
Yeah. It means you can't park there anymore. Yeah, Bishop. Actually, now the church, the Holy Family Church, has been called San Damiano Mission a few years ago when Bishop DiMarzio back then invited the Franciscans, the conventual Franciscans, to take over the church. And then he invited Shalom to establish a mission there. Of course, Sunday Mass is the apex of everything, and it's when we celebrate the mystery of death and resurrection of our Lord. And also for us in the Shalom community, the personal experience with the risen one who passed through the cross is the core of our spirituality, right? To celebrate the risen life of Christ. So we always have the Mass, of course, with music and trying to pray very well during the celebration, followed by a brunch. There's always this traditional brunch, the moment for us to revitalize also the initial inspiration of our charism. Like, okay, some people don't come to Mass yet, but they would accept to eat something and to hang out. And people come for midday Mass. It's 12:15, our Mass, and they leave at 6 p.m.
Okay.
We are sometimes we're exhausted because people want to catch up and to hang out and to talk, to pray. And I'm available all the time. Father, can I confess? Come. Father, can I talk? Let's go. And all the not only myself, but also the consecrated missionaries. We are 8 missionaries currently in the community. And we have something that is very important. That is our prayer groups and spiritual accompaniment. We call the Way of Peace. It's not only coming to Mass, but also to have a weekly encounter of community. So we pray, praise and worship, we have a talk, or we share about a text from the Pope, from a saint. It's an itinerary of growth in faith. We call the Way of Peace. And every person who attends our prayer groups on a monthly basis is personally accompanied. We have a one-on-one talk and prayer together, half an hour, 1 hour, about the person's life. Like, how can I grow in my spiritual life? How can I grow in the discernments I'm going through? How can I'm very impatient with my family now. I have this situation in my job. So as missionaries, also, we are spiritual brothers and sisters, a spiritual companionship, and a sort of spiritual fatherhood and motherhood, right? Because we are sheep of the church, and sometimes we become images of the Good Shepherd as well, right? And we talk with them and try to figure it out, and we see a growth month by month. It's not only you come to a Mass, you come to an event, and that's it, a spot event. No, it's a path of growth. It's important for me also to aim for holiness, right? So for us, it's very important that we say in the writings of Shalom, we have our goal, our aim is holiness by vocation. Our aim is holiness. So everybody who comes to Shalom, for us, is important to, hey, I have a gaze of hope on you. You'll be a saint. What, me? I'll be a saint? Yes, you'll be a saint. The Lord called you to be a saint. Please have high standards for your call, right? Because the Lord wants us to be saints. So, as you said, Bishop, of course, the Sunday Mass, but also the prayer groups. Right? We have on Thursdays and Saturdays gatherings. It's 1.5 hours or 2 hours of praise and worship, talk, sharing, and service. So everybody who comes to Shalom, it's not arms crossed. You don't come just to drink or to receive, but also we become missionaries too. We give protagonism to those who come in the service. To the poorest ones, we call the project Friends in Need. For the poorest ones, they start to coordinate our prayer groups. So we have a shepherding ministry. So the ones we recognize the charism of leadership, the commitment. So come, learn with us how to be a missionary yourself. Not necessarily will be a life community member, a covenant community member. You might even be called to another thing, a diocesan priest, or to have a family life in Brooklyn, in Queens, or Long Island, wherever you go. But you are called also to live out your baptism to the full and be a missionary. So that's what we try to do at Shalom. Not only like that people become our image and likeness, like Shalom as we are, but who is part of our community is invited to serve, invited to put their talents at the service of the church.
Beautiful. That's great. And, you know, coming back full circle to this experience of Eucharistic Congress, we're meeting people from all over the country who all desire the same thing, different movements, different experiences, different ages, different parts of the country, but we all love Jesus. And we want to be able to live that love of Jesus in really our everyday lives. And I thank you for the presence of Shalom. You're living that love out. It's been a wonderful week, hasn't it?
Yes.
It has. It's been a wonderful week. And we pray for all of those who've encountered it. You have a group of about 25.
Yes.
Joining with, and well, I'm going to say another 25 pilgrims from Brooklyn. We traveled as a group. But the fact of the matter is, I'm running into people all over the place from Brooklyn and Queens who came on their own.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, we went to the Spanish Mass on Friday morning. Coming out from there were an enormous number of people who I had no idea were here. And, you know, I'm from Jackson Heights. I'm from all these different communities in Brooklyn and Queens. So God is continuing to do amazing things among us.
When Cardinal Dolan mentioned Brooklyn during Mass, a lot of people shouted out. I said, oh, there's a lot of people from Brooklyn in the house, right? It's not only us, a lot of people.
So thanks again for joining us on this pilgrimage. Thanks for sharing some of the good news of Shalom. We have a website.
Yes, especially maybe social media. Shalom New York. We have a Send a Me on a Mission website also for the services of the church. And our main website is comshalom.org, comshalom.org.
Beautiful. Thank you for joining us this week for another edition of Big City Catholics. Thanks for your prayers for this time of pilgrimage and for the fruits to bear in Brooklyn and in Queens and really all around the country. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever and ever. Amen.